This is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how science fiction, horror, fantasy, and comics help us explore our humanity.
Hi, Tony Tolato once again. You know, Harry Lennox is known for his roles in the Matrix movies and also a brief stint in the Zack Snyder DC Universe in Man of Steel and Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. On television, we see him weekly as Harold Cooper on NBC's The Blacklist. I spoke to him about a movie he was recently in, Alternate Universe: A Rescue Mission, and also a project that's very dear to his heart, Revival. Here is my full conversation, talented actor, Harry Lennox. Let's talk about Alternate Universe. It kind of harkens back to the movies I used to watch as a kid on the Wonderful World of Disney when these kids were kind of doing this science-related project. What was it that attracted you to play the principal in this?
Well, I liked everything about it. You know, the first thing was that I love science, particularly the hard sciences and so forth. I think that the ability for physics in particular to engage the imagination of young people is great and unique. And I think that's how I got into it, was just because the ideas behind it, that you can be in two places at one time if you're a certain kind of particle or have entangled with, you know, a similar particle, that you can take great shortcuts through space and time by going into a wormhole or something. You know, these are deeply imaginative and philosophical ideas. They actually make you think about the nature of life. And then the other thing that I loved about the project was that they were working with high school students.
Yeah.
And professional crews. So that was something I had done on a project of my own some few years ago called H4. We went to Fairfax High School and got a lot of the kids to be crew members, and some of them are now professional filmmakers. So this was, I think, a perfect fit. It was right in my bailiwick as a former educator and, you know, as somebody who likes to think about science.
Very, very cool.
There is more Sci-Fi Talk, so stay tuned.
Yeah, I like that fact of it, and it's so important for to get kids kind of motivated and excited about science, and I think we're entering a really good age for that. So kudos for for doing the project. Was there any special effects you had to deal with at all?
I don't believe so. I was pretty much in the analog world. I represented the old-fashioned shoe-leather way of pedagogy, I guess. But I have fun nonetheless, and I know there's plenty of it in there. I don't have to be, you know, putting on motion capture suits. That's okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. It's definitely not a bad thing. Did you get a chance to work with Steven Guttenberg at all?
I did not. No, I was only there for one day, unfortunately. Oh. I sort of had to fit it in. I'm not entirely certain if I didn't fly in on a Saturday and they made special arrangements to shoot it on a Saturday. So he was probably either not yet there or off for the day, as most reasonable people would have been. But you know, I've always certainly been a fan and admirer of Mr. Guttenberg and proud to be in a project with him.
Cool. And this will be, it's available out there now. I think people can actually watch it on demand, which is another great platform that people can see movies on.
That's
awesome. That's awesome. I do want to talk about a project that I know is very dear to you, and that's Revival. I mean, you played Pontius Pilate years ago, and now you return to him again. I mean, Did you kind of have a different perspective on him now that you're older and wiser?
I don't know that I had the play, I guess the opera that I did in college at Northwestern.
Yeah,
we did it my senior year with the great George Newbern, who's on. How to Get Away? Not How to Get Away with. Scandal. He's on Scandal.
Yes,
from time to time. And Marietta De Prima, his wife. We had a lot of cool people in that production. But that was a pretty, you know, Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber did a pretty good job of presenting the conflict in Pontius Pilate. So that's, I mean, the Gospels sort of do a lot of the heavy lifting. I think that Pontius Pilate is known historically to have been a ruthless killer of a lot of the dissidents and the people in Judea. However, the Gospels present a very interesting and intriguing figure. He doesn't want to do this.
Right.
And I think that remains consistent. So in a way, I guess I had a bit of a head start having played him, and also the fact that I wrote the script. I was a pretty quick study for it, because what happened was that my good friend Angus McFadgen of Braveheart, who played Robert the Bruce, he was supposed to do it, but he was snowed in. He was on the television show Turn.
That's right.
At the time, and they would not allow any flights to come west because of they predicted a snowstorm. So I had to do it at the last minute, and I only brought up the fact that I wrote it because I had to be a quick study. I had to learn them all in about an hour.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you. So what's it like to wear the producer's hat too, and to bring this project together? Because you really assembled quite a talent pool for this.
Yes, well, a lot of that is due to my partner, my co-creator of Revival, is somebody that I go to church with. Her name is Dr. Holly Carter. She's a force of nature in the faith-based space, and she does a lot of work. So she was well known to people like Chaka Khan, for example.
Yeah.
Modern Music was her client. Michelle Williams was her client. She's friends with Wendy Raquel Robinson. So a lot of that was done just because Holly is so well known and well regarded. But I also, you know, as the producer of it, my chief goal was to just try to keep all of the balls in the air, because I was also the chief financier. So it was really, so it was really quite daunting. And it's been several years in the making, but we're at the point now where I think it's ready to be seen and enjoyed. And I think we can really win some hearts and minds here.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, do you have an appreciation now of what it's like to produce, being on this side of it, as opposed to just be acting in something?
Certainly I do. however, you know, I've been producing and directing since I was in high school, really.
Oh, cool.
So so in theater, I've produced plays literally since I was 20 years old or something, and directed as well, and mostly in theater.
Mm.
But, you know, one day I might try, if I could try my hand and, you know, in the celluloid world or something, TV. But it's been, but it's great. You know, I think actors should be producers. I think that goes back to some of my favorite people, the people who did United Artists, for example. Those are actors.
Yes.
Who founded United Artists. They wanted more control, and they wanted to extend their career, and they wanted to actually be able to control some of the aesthetic that was being put out there. And I think that's a natural evolution, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely. And the music, is it primarily gospel music in this?
I would call it entirely gospel, but gospel is a pretty wide field. You got the hip hop gospel, and you got traditional gospel and spirituals, and we've got a pretty fair sampling of all of it. Molly Music, who plays Jesus Christ, wrote most of it, but we've got some old standards that people will recognize and I think quite enjoy. Yeah, the music is so wonderful. I didn't get introduced to gospel music personally.
Mm.
Until I was out of high school. I was in a seminary high school, going to be a Catholic priest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And one day, a girl I was dating took me to church, and I heard this music. And I was like, man, where has this been all my life?
Yeah.
So, I love it. I'm as big a fan as anybody of the form. And I'm proud to have been the first, or among the first people to put really the Black faith experience into an entertainment venue where people can experience it as art and not just as, you know, worship that's on a Sunday. But, you know, this is really Black culture, as it were, Black faith culture in an exhibition form.
Yeah.
And I think it's something quite new.
Yeah.
Sci-Fi Talk returns in a moment.
It's part of American culture, really. That's the way I look at it, too. It's very much Americana. And I mean, I grew up with rock and roll. But when I started to look at the roots of rock and roll, I mean, where would rock and roll be if not for that gospel influence in it? I mean, it just influenced so many artists in the beginning, and it's still doing it. It's really amazing.
without question. You know, I mean, yeah. I think even Elvis Presley,
definitely.
You know, the Little Richard, the people who invented rock and roll,
yeah,
were all listening to that. You know, largely in the South and so forth. But Rosetta Tharpe, for example, was a great influencer of people like Jackie Wilson and a bunch of others. She could rock and roll. You know, she was gold.
Yeah.
So because it's a long association, and it wouldn't be the case unless it was extraordinarily powerful music.
Cool. So with the film, are you showing it with film festivals, or do you have another outlet for the film?
We're actually really just now letting it be out there. So we don't know yet. I don't know that it's a festival film. I don't know that we're trying to, you know, win over critics or the art house crowds. I mean, we want everybody to see it.
Yeah.
And I think that festivals in some ways, you know, are about competing in an independent world. We're not competing with anybody. We want people just to be able to enjoy it. So our goal is to find a distribution partner, hopefully that has connections with the churches, with the prisons, we want everybody to be able to experience this ministry as a movie, because that's what it is. And I think in so being, it is extremely unique. It's as good as going to church on Sunday. You're going to get as much kingdom work watching this movie. You're going to get as much scripture as you can handle. And so we're proud of that. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. I mean, you know, hey, yeah. There's nothing wrong about having a religious experience at a movie, you know, so why not?
That's right.
You know, it's great. I have to comment to you because compliment you for your role as Harold Cooper on The Blacklist. I just watched the opening, and even in the short scene you were in, it was just, you know, it was pure Harold, and just losing Ryan was like, that was a WTF moment for a lot of us fans of the show. And yeah. It's going to shape what's coming this season. His arc has been amazing. His personal life, the disease he thought he had, I mean, and just, you know, just dealing with Red and his just being Red. But
right.
What's it been like for you? I mean, it's quite a plum role, really.
It's a great role. I have the great benefit of being not around a whole lot, but being in a position where people refer to the character, where they have to, you know, engage with him in order to get permission to do certain things. So it's really, for somebody that's doing a couple of things, it's Harry Lennox, you know, it makes it extremely conducive. I can create and use my imagination on that show, and I still have time to create and use my imagination on these other things I'm doing. So I've loved it, and it's the longest job I've ever had on television, 5 years, you know, and I think 100 and some episodes now. So we are, I think we're grateful. I know we are, and I think that we just want to keep providing the fans with something to think about and an escape.
Yeah.
To go to. And I think that the death of Ryan is kind of, you know, while we're going to miss him.
Yeah.
It also helps to ground the world, this in the world of reality, where sometimes there are consequences that can't be reversed. And I think that it also says that, you know, it also gives us an opportunity to add more people, to keep the blood new, as it were. Ryan's going to be just fine as an actor. He's one of the most popular figures, you know, that was on the show. So, you know, I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for the show, because I think it gives us an opportunity to continue to, as I say, to evolve and progress and to keep it interesting.
Anything interesting that you can hint at for Harold coming up?
Well, I can only tell you that Harold and the task force are going to be in danger, as they always are.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yes, Red kind of leads him towards that path, doesn't it?
You know, that's right.
You know, what is really, you just strike me, the characters you play are, to me, the kind of characters that when they walk in a room, you notice them. You know, it's like there's a presence there. And I mean, going back to The Matrix and even Batman versus Superman, playing the general and then the Secretary of State, I mean, or defense. He does have you have a presence that you can't teach actors. You either have it or you don't have it. And it's part of the joy of watching your work. And especially we see it a lot with Harold too, but all the roles you've inhabited, you bring that, and that's so important nowadays.
Yeah, thank you very much. That means a lot. There are things that you can't necessarily teach. I remember reading, I think it was about Chekhov. Michael Chekhov was doing something. He was in a play or in a scene, and he had no lines. He was more or less an extra, and somebody noted that everybody was looking at Michael Chekhov. There was something that he was doing or was just being that attracted people's attention. I don't know if I have all that because the camera, you know, sort of draws attention where it wants to. But, you know, this idea of presence is something that, it can't be taught, but I think it can be developed, you know, in some sense. And I think, over the course of time, the confidence being in this industry now for over 30 years as a professional, you know, it's sort of given me a sense of groundedness that some people call it gravity, some people call it all, you know, other things, presence. But I think that it comes from self-confidence and knowing, or at least having the sense that you'll be able to discover things in the scene and that you have permission to do it. I mean, a lot of what actors lack when they exhibit discomfort or is a lack of permission. But you know, any actor deserves the permission to try, to fail, to succeed, to find, to discover, that's part of the process. And I think, you know, a lot of times young actors or inexperienced actors try to get it right and perfect. Right the first time, but I think if you see it as some sort of an organic process that the actor, like the figure that the actor is inhabiting, as you say, can discover what the truth, the emotional truth, the physical truth, all of those things are through the process of time. So I've you know, I'm glad that it seems at least as if I have come to some sort of equilibrium with that.
Well, you know what's say what you will about the Matrix movies, but I thought the diversity in those movies was awesome. It was like, wow, it was real something that struck me. And this was like in the early 2000s. It really wasn't as common. It still isn't as common as it should be. But it was like, here. That was way overdue. And I just loved watching this amazing rainbow of actors just do an amazing job. And you were certainly part of that. So say what people will about it. You know, I thought that and that alone, they should be praised. But, you know, the Wachowskis took a risk, and you got to give them credit for that.
I certainly do. They took it early. They took, you know, they've done it consistently, at least in those movies. And I know that they have, you know, conscientiously done it. They're from Chicago, like I am.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, so I was proud that, without drawing a lot of attention to itself, it wasn't like, hey, let's go out here. We're going to go out and deliberately be diverse.
Yeah.
It was just the reality of the situation. Nobody talked about it, really. But I'm glad that people noticed it because it's, you know, it was high time. And for something of that level of prestige to have broken that barrier, I think is extraordinarily important, and too few people talk about it. So thank you for mentioning it.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean, I'm all these days. I've kind of gotten on my soapbox about diversity because there seems to be a push against it, unfortunately. So I'm really, I'm Hispanic, so I know what that's like a little bit. But so, I kind of like to point that out as much as I can to remind people that America is a lot of different colors, and that's not a weakness, that's a strength. So, we have to embrace it and not try to push it away. So it's, it's sad that some people don't think that way, but we have to remind them. My job to remind them a little bit. So
that's good. I love it. I'm glad you're out there doing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really important to me, and, I see you, and like even Harold, when he walks into a room, I don't think that's a black man leading a team. I just said that's Harold. You know, that's it's a leader that happens to be black, but it doesn't, you know, it defines him, but you just don't even think about it. It's just part of the norm. And I grew up in the 60s where I remember Diane Carroll breaking the ground in a show called Julia and what that was about. And it was like, that was a huge deal back then. I remember it very well. So, you know, it's come a long way, but boy, we still have a long way to go. No two ways.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I think so. Well, sir, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. I mean, I just totally admire your work, and I'm a big fan, and I love seeing what you do, and best of luck with Revival. That sounds just totally awesome. It really does.
Thanks, Tony. I hope you get to see it soon. We're going to try to use Easter, you know, as a kind of launching or awareness campaign. So, you know, it's more or less ready, but we're going to try to put it out there when the time is right. And we think that's soon. And we hope you get to see it.
Awesome. Soon. That Easter's perfect. It really is. Yep. It's a perfect time for it. So that's
right.
Great. All right, sir. God bless you and best of luck to you.
Thanks, Tony. Take care, my friend.
You too. Yep. Bye-bye.
Look for Harry Lennox on The Blacklist on NBC and keep an eye out for Revival this April, probably closer to Easter, as he mentioned. And if you want to leave a voicemail, rant, or rage, you can do that at my SpeakPipe page, and that's SpeakPipe.com/Sci-Fi Talk Rant. And that's rant, you know, like ranting. That's my edition of Sci-Fi Talk. Thanks so much for listening and joining us. I'm Tony Tolato. Take care.
Hello, this is Harry Lennox of NBC's The Blacklist, and you're listening to Sci-Fi Talk, a podcast with my good friend Tony Tolato. We hope you continue to listen. We hope you enjoy each episode.